Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the best podcast when it airs, the absolutely only podcast that's in your ears. Get your nerd on with your boy P90. Me. We got some stuff to get to. Lots of stuff to get to. So, quick catch up, which is nothing, really. Just been playing Destroy All Humans 2. Been playing Naraka, dropping a video game review for Bright Memory Infinite, and been reading some X-Men comics. But other than that, let's get to all the juicy news that we have gotten this week. Like I said, this podcast was going to drop. It's dropping. So let's get to it. Doing this a little differently, though. We're going to hit these comics first, all right? So we read Judgment Day 1, we read Judgment Day 2, and we read X-Men Red. And this is just going to be like a quick little overview of all that shit. So basically, what had happened was, prior to these issues, Scott Summers ended up helping Ben Urich write his article on the Immortal X-Men. And when I say the Immortal X-Men, I don't mean the title. I mean the X-Men are technically immortal because they found a way to cheat death. So now the whole world knows that the mutants can cheat death. Boom. So the Eternals were going to say this themselves because they found out that the mutants can cheat death. And they also believe that the mutants are a form of deviation, and the Eternals are meant to get rid of all the deviations through force. So, there's all that. And now the world knows, and now the Eternals are planning on wiping out all of the mutants because that is what they feel their job is, because the mutants are apparently deviants. So, there's a psychic attack by the Unimine on the Quiet Council on Krakoa, and that is a huge distraction while they send in ground forces to try and kill the Five and every other mutant that they can kill in the process. They kill everyone except for Hope, which is good, because as long as Hope is alive, apparently we're good enough right there, as long as there's some eggs left, and there were some eggs left. So people were remade. But while that was happening, there was another attack that lasted less than an hour. He only had an hour, but he did this in like 30 minutes. Thanos's, who was it, grandfather, I think it was, fucking goes to Arako and just obliterates the mutants. One by one, they fall. He even beat Legion's ass, dog. Like, apparently, we don't get to see the fight, which I don't know if that makes me angry or happy, because I don't want to see Legion fall. But Legion fell. Magneto fell. Cable pulled out the strongest weapon in his arsenal in all of his lives that he's ever lived. And it hurt Uranus, but it didn't kill him. All it did was hurt him, damage him just a little bit, weakened him, but that was it. Even there's this eyeball, sorry, I can't remember her name right now, and I'm not looking at the comic, but there's this eyeball mutant, and she gazes at you, and you become unmade. It works on everyone, except for, apparently, Uranus, maybe even the Eternals in general, but she stared at him, and he just poked her right in the eye, and dismantled her weapon, although she was still alive. And it's just crazy because he's just going around fucking everything up. But then when he killed Magneto, he ripped out Magneto's heart. Now, the heart's just a nice little thing that's just a pumping mechanism, right? Magneto knows this. So apparently he used his ability to move the metals in his body to continue pumping blood. He has a gaping hole in his chest. And this man is just sitting here pumping his own fucking blood, bro. Magneto is the fucking GOAT. That nigga is pissed. That nigga is ready to... He's going to come back harder than anything. At like, when he was fighting to defend. He was angry, but he was fighting to defend. He did not want his mutants to die because he cared for his mutants. He took a new oath. He just destroyed his backup. This man was playing a different type of game. But now, after getting his heart ripped out like that, after watching his Arakai brothers and sisters get fucking demolished, yeah, boy, it's hype, cuz. He about to go out and start stomping niggas, dog. But on top of that, you know what I mean, we also got the Avengers ended up swooping in and trying to play help. So they're helping the X-Men as they're trying to stave off these big old centaur-like machines that are fucking destroying, they're destroying mutants, and they're kind of just causing wild destruction. But their main purpose is trying to kill these mutants. And in the back of all this, Sinister, who was kidnapped, well, he was kidnapped by Makari and... Damn, I can't remember the other one's name. But two Eternals, who are not on the side of Eternals that are trying to wipe out the X-Men, they don't think like that anymore. They use Sinister to bring, and Tony Stark, they ask him to help bring back a dead Celestial. They try to make a god. And they do. And all the fighting ceases. But I want to point one thing out. The Eternals have a secret. In order for them to come back to life, a human must die. A random human dies every time an Eternal comes back to life. And it happened during this fight because they killed one of those big old, they killed a Hex. I think that the one that they killed was, and it's an Eternal, so it died. And when it came back to life, a random human just fell and died. All right, now back to what I was saying before. But they built the Celestial back. The Celestial came back, ceased all the fighting from the Eternal front, but then broadcast that they have 24 hours to show him that they are just. If they are deemed unworthy and cannot prove that they can everyone in the world can kind of love each other and just live together, you know, not be fucking fucktards, then he's just gonna literally wipe out the entire Earth. Like, Earth is just gonna fucking get obliterated, and we're gonna need to find a new place to focus our stories in Marvel Universe. Because, yeah, the Eternal is just like, yep, yep. Ba-doom. So, that shit's fire. I don't remember if we talked about Batman before. I haven't read Batman in a while, but I do have some new Batman comics. So, we won't do that today. But I do think that they're pretty decent. The first issues of... Chip, and then the first issue of Ram V, they were pretty good. I have an opinion, and it's not a bad opinion. Fuck it. I'm excited to see where it goes, but the first issues didn't excite me. We'll see what happens. I'll read a couple, and then we'll go over it. I'll go back over it. I know I have notes on them somewhere, so if we can talk about it, I'll bring them back up. But for now, it's just the X-Men stuff. I'm going to catch back up on the rest of it, because I'm actually far behind on X-Men, like a month and a half's worth. So we'll get back to Judgment Day. Going to try and get these comics in swing. And now let's get on to the gaming news, because that was just it for the comics. But let's get to this gaming news. So let's talk Cyberpunk real quick. Cyberpunk got an update to prepare us for Edgerunner, Edgerunner, the show, by giving us a new mission for it, and on top of that, the Series S gets 60 frames per second update. They announced that they are going to stop support for the Xbox One and PS4 generations. They also allowed for they told us that we're getting a DLC, and the DLC is going to be only for next gen. Adds Roach Race minigame. It's a arcade game within some of the stores you can find it. Martinez's jacket from Edge Runner, transmog, so you can now make a wardrobe and wear whatever armor you want without sacrificing the look. It's really cool. So if you want to run around naked but have like all your stats attached, you can definitely do that now, which is great. New Ripper Dock additions, basically you can go there to change your appearance, like your full-on appearance. If you want to recreate your character, you can go to Ripper Dock to do it. You can do some stuff from your house mirror, but mostly Ripper Dock is the best place to do that. New photo mode additions, like you can take a photo of the cat. Coming in the future is a complete overhaul of the police system, an overhauled vehicle-to-vehicle combat, which is going to be very useful. I would like to see the cops react a little differently. I haven't played the game in a while, so I'm not sure if any other updates had supposedly fixed the cop thing, but I don't think so. Also, for the PC people, they opened up a thing called Red Mods, I believe it is. So basically, they're just making it easier for PC people to mod the game. So if they want to keep creating content for it, they can, because Cyberpunk is officially having people start on the sequel. So we won't see it for some time. But that's one of the reasons that this Liberty update is the last, Liberty DLC is the only expansion we're getting, because of the fact that they're doing a sequel and this game probably turned out so differently than they expected when they were releasing it and they were focusing on last gen, that they're going to just start working. They're going to build it from a different engine. I think they're switching engines. I might be wrong, but I believe they are switching engines. Thus, we will be getting a new Cyberpunk game at some point in the future, and it will be better. Oh, man. I kind of want it for PC, though. They have, like, mods that open up V's apartment, like, inaccessible areas. And, damn, the modders even added new quests. Dog, that's fucking dope. I kind of want a PC just so I can fucking enjoy that. Those mods are crazy cool. The only, like, I need to get those. I love achievements. Like, I don't do things that don't fucking revolve around achievements. But, damn. The Cyberpunk mod lets you craft any clothing item. Yo, they're going sick with the mods now. This is actually really fucking cool. Mod community really helps keep the game life alive. Ubisoft had a Ubisoft Forward. And let's see, they talked about Assassin's Creed Mirage. This is strictly what I wrote on my notes, word for word. Assassin's Creed Mirage looks perfect. Back to the roots of being an assassin, apparently retailing for $50 for the standard copy, and no more 150 hour RPGs. Quote, it is a smaller Assassin's Creed project. This was conceived and built to celebrate the 15th anniversary. So that's why we're using our modern Valhalla engine to build a smaller game that pays tribute to our original game by focusing more on stealth, on close quarter combat, on parkour, and a denser city that goes back to our roots in the Middle East with Baghdad as the centerpiece. That is exciting to me because I really, really have... Alright, so as we all know here, I'm a video game collector, so I buy video games regardless of the type they are. I buy video games, right? But I don't play half of them because a lot of the video games I own now are open world. There's a lot of open world games that have been coming out. And I'm very happy for Assassin's Creed to be going down from like open world RPG to open world less RPG, maybe normal Assassin's Creed. Like, Assassin's Creed, technically, you're playing a role, right? Sure, but you're playing a specific role. So you don't really have to classify as RPG, the original ones. But if you want to, you can. But it's no more the action RPG, like that whole hit, I mean, numbers above the head, fucking, we're going to give you a 1,000 skill tree thing, make you climb all over the world. Like, it's cool. Don't get me wrong. It's for Valhalla, it really works. For Origins, it really works. Odyssey, it's cool, but that was the one game I could not really finish when they started doing that. And then Black Flag, great game, great use of the open world, and it was open, it was wild open world, and it was, I don't think Black Flag had the aspects of those other RPGs though, so we could stop there. We could just say the three that I said. That was a lot for me. That was a lot for me. So I'm happy to be going back. Because, like, again, I have Cyberpunk, which I'm also replaying. That's always going to be an RPG. Never, like, that's its thing. What else? I got Outer Worlds that I got to finish beating. I just got a lot of open world RPG games. And it's kind of bothering me. Like, I'm even thinking about the game that I'm trying to design. Moving it from open world to open linear world, so like, yeah, you can revisit at any time, but there's a strict path, you do these things and that's it. You just got to make it compelling though. But I'm very happy about that. Valhalla is getting its last piece of expansion, which apparently will be free. I saw one article that said that. I didn't get a chance to watch the entire stream, so I'm not 1,000% sure how accurate that is. Sorry, I was looking at an article and there was a fine woman in on the article page. Anyway, so there's that. Sonic Team Head again shows interest in Sonic Avengers 3, but it seems like it's going to take a lot of work. And I'm really excited if they get the chance to do it. I hope they do. I want to see Sonic Adventure 3. Like, we could get a new Child Garden, we can get Sonic Adventure, and I'm sure this one, I mean, they might monetize it, but I'm sure if they're smart, they won't try and go crazy and microtransaction this one. Although they could, and if that's really what they want to do, they can do a Child Garden. It'll work perfect. They can monetize certain things like clothing for your child. I don't know, but they could do something if they really. I just want Child Garden, okay? I want my Child Garden back. I want to mess with my childs. I miss them. Sonic Frontiers is coming to the Switch November 8th, 2022. Okay, yeah. So I'm excited to try out the new Sonic Frontier game. I hope we get Sonic Adventure at some point though. Like Sonic Adventure 3 Battle. Do 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 do. Sorry. I was just see, yo, Sonic just opens up this nostalgic piece of your brain, and you just start singing Crush 40, dog. Like, it's really cool. Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope will get post-launch content with Rayman. Skull and Bones trailer shows off ship customizations, trading networks called Pirate Affairs. These are headlines by IGN, by the way. I only really saw the Assassin's Creed, so that's why we're going by IGN real quick. The Division Heartland is gearing up for another testing phase. Supposedly, there's also the, was it Division mobile game? Or there's a mobile, let me see. Let's read this real quick. The Division Heartland, the free-to-play game set in the world of Ubisoft's massive Tom Clancy series, is still on track for release 2022 or 2023 on PC, console, and cloud. While Ubisoft wasn't ready to be more specific with the release date, it says that Heartland will have another testing phase that players can sign up for. So this one's for PC, console, and cloud. But Ubisoft is making, I think it's the Siege Mobile. Only on Android right now. A new beta is going up if it is the Siege Mobile. And iOS will apparently get a beta at, or a pre-order at some point. No word on beta, but definitely a pre-order eventually. Riders Republic is teaming up with Vans and it's getting BMX biking. I still haven't played that game. I don't know how I feel about that game anymore. I was excited at first, but now I'm just like, yeah, I don't know if I want to play that. On top of Assassin's Creed, it's also finally going to Japan. So that's like, that's the next game. I think that one is Assassin's Creed Red. Let's see. I think I got it in my notes. Yep. Experience the full Shinobi fantasy in our future open world RPG titles set during feudal Japan. Sorry. Assassin's Creed Codename Red. All right. So that one's going to be an open world RPG. I wonder how RPG-ish it's going to be, because they did say they weren't going to go crazy with the 150 hour type stuff, but that doesn't mean that they won't make it 100 hours. We'll see. I'm excited to find out regardless, because I want to be in Japan. I like games set in Japan. It's always great. I mean, there's plenty of them, but I would like Assassin's Creed's take on it, because they're going to throw a bunch of history, that they're going to find all the historic stuff that they can, and they're going to put it in there, and I'm hyped to read all those history. That's the one game where I'm reading all of the pieces. Anything that gives me like history about places that I enjoy, yeah, definitely reading all the cliff notes. Coffee Talk Episode 2 is a sequel sim to the fantasy to people who fucking love that game. All right, this one just caught me very off guard. Coffee Talk Episode 2, Hibiscus and Butterfly. So Coffee Talk was this game, it was like a comic strip game type of thing, right? So you just make coffee and then you serve it to customers, and then you get reactions in conversations based on if you do their orders properly and whatnot. And days go by and these people come in, they get to know you, and then they start telling you their problems and stuff, and then you start talking back to them and telling them things. Like, you kind of help them with stuff sometimes. You just talk to them, and it's just really interesting. It ended up being, I played it just for achievements, ended up thinking it was a really cute game. I'm not saying I recommend it, but if you're a very open gamer and you'll play just about anything, yeah, I recommend giving it a try. It's definitely really good. Crystal Dynamics announces it Crystal Dynamics has taken control of its IPs like Tomb Raider and Legacy of Kain again, which is really funny because they sold off their IPs. But let's see, it isn't just Crystal Dynamics that have its IPs back either. Eidos Montreal also announced that it had control of the Deus Ex and Thief franchises once again. This has wow, this is funny, because it, like, they sold them, but then they got them back, and I think that's really weird. So I guess they're gonna try to market to the West again. I mean, they did open up a new Square Enix Western division, apparently, which I thought was weird, and then a couple days later, that article came out. So I guess it's cool. I guess that might be the reason they're doing it, and if that is, then yippee! Haha! Maybe we'll get new Tomb Raider games. Maybe we'll get a new Deus Ex game. I don't really care about Thief, but maybe we'll get a new Thief game. Marvel vs. Capcom 2 makes home arcade duet with Arcade 1-Up latest cabinet. I don't know if this is full size or if this is counter. It's gotta be full. Yep, it's full size. I want it so bad. Bro. If I can get this cabinet, I'm putting it, I don't know where I'm putting it in this house, but I'm fucking putting this cabinet somewhere in this game room, bro. Word to everything. Like, I want this shit. I love Marvel vs. Capcom 2, yo. Love, 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 love. I will sit here and I will play that shit nonstop. I want it. Xbox noise suppression will remove breathing clicks and music in party chats. Yeah. So they added an update to help get that heavy breathing from penetrating that mic and all those things that aren't people talking to you. So if you have a breathing problem, or if you tend to make random noises that don't sound like talking but are pretty low, Xbox will be finding a way to filter that out for you, which is really great. I also heard that the Splitgate studio was working on a new shooter set in the same world, and basically it is it's basically Splitgate 2 without being Splitgate 2. It's their way of remaking the game, I guess, and making it even better. Because people like Splitgate, but I think that it was less of what they really could do. I feel like it still had things that they wanted to perfect, and now they have the chance to by remaking Splitgate and a new engine, or just from the ground up and trying again. So I'm excited about that. I'm happy for them. That should be cool. Splitgate is a great game. Xbox Head wants to showcase Fable, but Playground Games refuses until it's ready. And I love that. Playground Games is a perfectionist when it comes to the games that they're making. So that just means that Fable looks really good, probably. But they want to make sure it looks fucking perfect. They do not want to. Playground Games is not playing games. They're not going to be the studio that fucking showcases a game and now everyone shits on them. They don't want to be a part of that club. They don't want to be a part of that club. And I respect that. I love Playground Games for that. So that makes me really happy. Xbox's Matt Booty dreams about using AIs to do QA testing. I get it, but that's so fucked up. Basically, if AIs could do game testing, they could find out a lot of problems faster than humans, because you can run like 2,000 in 30 minutes. Listen, that is honestly cool. It's really cool, and it is a great idea. I do think that's good, because it would probably lower the amount of bugs and breaking. But there's something about one literally coming out and saying, yeah, yo, I want to replace the humans with AIs. And then on top of that, no matter how good your AIs are, I don't think they'll ever be as creative as the humans who be finding out these bugs, because humans be finding out some crazy bugs. And I don't think AIs have the capability to do that. I really don't. I think that's a weird thing to say out loud. I think it's a weird thing to say when, you know, these people who do these game testings are not always treated the best, and now you want to come out and say some weird shit like, yeah, I would replace you guys with AIs because I think it would be so much more effective, even if it is more effective. But hey, that's how money-hungry capitalistic people think, isn't it? Hopefully that doesn't happen. And then as long as I'm alive and my kid's alive, that can happen in their kid's life. But I don't ever want to see that come to fruition. Modern Warfare 2 is bringing back Call of Duty's iconic firing range to try out new weapons. And that's actually really cool. That's fun. I like firing range. I like to just be able to test out weapons in there, even though I know how all the weapons feel. Also, based off of this picture, yo, this game looks really, really good. So I'm excited to see what the fuck, how this shit look. I'm excited to fuck with it. I'm excited for Call of Duty. Let's see. What else we got here? What else we got here, Kez? Netflix's Bioshock movie is in development. I mean, that could be multimedia, that could be gaming news, but we're gonna put that here in gaming news because it's important. And that's dope. I'm excited for it. Call of Duty will come to Game Pass and it will stay on PlayStation, Microsoft says. I feel like we touched on this already, but I just wanted to say it again. Bro, we know this. Sony is going to be able, like, I don't know why people keep asking. I don't know why people are, I don't know why people, I don't know why people. Bro, you Sony people will be able to play your game. Who cares what happens in 10 years? For now, you'll be able to play your game. Sony, one of the biggest selling systems, the most popular system, is scared. And I find it funny. Now, you might tell me I'm a little crazy for calling them scared, but like, they're acting like they're scared, bro. They're really acting like, oh my God. Oh my God. We will never have a good game without it. Like, bro, chill out. Chill out, please. I just think they just need to relax, bro. It's okay, dog. It's okay. It's fine. You will be fine. And people will love your system. You guys can bring back Killzone. You guys can make a new FPS. Make games better than Call of Duty. You guys have made games better than Call of Duty. So relax. They also have a new DualSense Edge wireless controller, which is like an Elite controller for PlayStation. I'm going to get it. Because I gotta get it. The Game Awards returns in December with a Best Adaption category. That's interesting. I guess it's like adapted from like books and comic books and stuff like that in movies. So I'll be interested to see what happens in there. But that's, I wonder if it's game to, let's see, streaming, we've bring you something very special. Let's see, maybe they mean movie adaptions. So best video game movie adaption, that I would understand that. I would respect that. That makes sense because it's still a video game culture related thing. Rockstar hits original GTA developers with copyright strike for sharing early game footage of the GTA prototype, and I think that's really weird, and that's so weird. Like, I think it's the old GTA too, and like, what's wrong with showing prototype footage of the early GTA game? Oh, fuck all that. Best news. Gravity Rush movie floats into development. It's the only movie that Sony is making that I am excited for. Absolutely excited for. I cannot wait to see how that's going to be. And I'm sure it's going to be live action, which hurts me. But it's okay. It's okay. I want to see it. I'm excited for it. Excited. Days Gone might be getting an adaptation to, and High on Life is set for this December. And that is all the gaming news for today. Yeah, it was mostly Assassin's Creed and Cyberpunk that really took the stage. For everything. Splatoon 3 came out, but I don't own Splatoon 3. So we can get on to multimedia stuff, and I have a discussion for us. And then that will be it. So let's get to it. D23 happened. So, and we're only really going to talk about the Marvel side of that. There was some Star Wars stuff, but I don't know enough about Star Wars to tell you guys anything about Star Wars, even though I'm trying to rewatch it. Except for Ahsoka, looks great. Looks really cool. I'm happy to see her. I like her. All right. D23 shows exclusive footage of a bunch of stuff like Wakanda Forever that you'll never see because they're stupid. But the stuff about Wakanda Forever is the world trying to capitalize on the resources, assuming that they're at their weakest after the death of Black Panther, Namor fighting M'Baku, and other cool stuff. So from what I hear, this is similar to, I think, I can't remember. I don't want to say the wrong one. I wanted to say Doom War, but I can't really remember off the top of my head anymore. I didn't write that part down. But it's similar to when Dr. Doom tried to invade Wakanda, supposedly. So it's reminiscent of that story. So I wonder how it's going to play out. Don't know if I'm going to watch it, but we'll see how it turns out. I mean, if there's a chance that Doom will show up in here, I'll watch it. But if not, if no one says anything about Doom, I don't think I'm going to watch it. I don't even remember when the movie comes out, honestly. But Ant-Man and the Wasp directly links to Kang Dynasty and gives them an exclusive trailer that no one else can see, but Kang holds Cassie hostage and forces Ant-Man to do a heist for him. I don't know enough about Ant-Man and Kang to make it form an opinion on that, but that might be another movie. I'll watch that movie because it's directly related. Yeah, I didn't watch any of the Ant-Mans yet. That's it. I just haven't watched any of the Ant-Mans yet. Werewolf by Night special coming to Disney Plus for Halloween. A black and white style comedy that looks like a horror. Don't know why they're doing that. Like, I get Disney family friendly and whatnot, but they do know that they can make, like, Werewolf by Night like a total horror, right? Because even in the trailer, it looks like the old cheesy horror movies, like Dracula, Frankenstein type cheesy shit. But it looked like it could have really been some horror shit. But from what I've been hearing recently, it's actually more of a comedy-centric horror show. I don't. Secret Invasion series streaming as a series, like I said, in 2023. We follow Nick Fury in an intense life or death feeling mission. It feels like some sort of spy-ish mission going on around here. Nick Fury about to get in his bag. It's dope that he gets a solo thing. I'm actually excited about that for him. So that's going to be cool. Because, shit, he's a cool character in the MCU. I'm sure he's cool in the comics too. I just haven't read Nick Fury-centric stuff. Loki got an exclusive trailer shown. That was it. Didn't even get a description of what was going on in the trailer, apparently. No Fantastic Four news has been shown whatsoever. Daredevil Born Again begins filming in 2023 with 18 episodes. And we won't see mutants for a very, very long time. We're not going to see mutants until like 2025, 2026. I don't know what their definition of very long time is, but my definition of very long time, we're in 2022, we ain't seeing the motherfuckers till 2028. I mean, that's probably a very long time. We'll see what happens. I don't know how I feel about that. It's just insane, because we got no Deadpool 3 news, we got no X-Men news, which is kind of crazy, honestly. Like, we, not even a teasing video of something, not even X-Men, the animated series that they're doing, got any type of love. Like, I find that to be absolutely nuts. I also find D23 to have been the most pointless thing ever, even with the decent news that dropped, at least on the Marvel side. because even the Star Wars side, because they didn't stream any of this, which I think is really stupid. I think not streaming it was a weird choice and anti-fan consumer friendly. Even if they sold like digital tickets, I don't know if they did, but if they like, even if they did that, it's just weird. It's like really, really weird that they didn't stream anything. People like watching this shit. Everybody was on Twitter just watching live tweets about it. But whatever. Yeah, Apple also had an event. So we can talk about Apple devices, because that is definitely something that I talk about here. Love me some Apple devices. So let's go grab these Apple notes. I lied. I actually must say that the Twisted Metal series, I believe it was, is moving along as planned. They also canceled what did they cancel? They canceled Resident Evil, the TV show. Very insane. The show wasn't great, okay? The show wasn't great. It was something I could watch. It was watchable for sure, but it was not great. I'm not surprised that they canceled it. It is what it is. That kind of sucks for them. Lance Reddick did a good job. But that show is very, very mid. I watched the whole thing, top to bottom, binged it. Like I said, watchable, but that shit was mid. Shit was funny. And them girls really fucked everything up, low-key. Nintendo announces a direct showcase for Tuesday morning. Alright. Nintendo's next direct showcase will take place tomorrow, September 13th. The Nintendo Direct will be broadcasted at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning and will include roughly 40 minutes of information, mostly focused on Switch games launching this winter. This winter? This winter? Switch games that are releasing this winter? Sorry, I'm hyped for that. That's actually, that could be stuff that I fuck with heavily. So, yeah, that's great. That's fucking fantastic. Sorry, all right, we're doing a last look about random newses, and then we're going to see what's up. So, yeah, like I said earlier, CD Projekt Red, they came out and they mentioned they're totally fully committed to making more Cyberpunk in the future. So that's great. It's actually really, really wonderful. We don't have to worry about that not dying. I really want more of that. Cyberpunk's gonna be great, because Cyberpunk, listen, I'm replaying Cyberpunk 2077 now, and it is great. It is definitely a great, great game. So I'm very happy that they plan to keep it going. There's a lot of Disney animation stuff that I didn't see that was announced. People loved it. People saw the trailer for Little Mermaid, and the internet went crazy, apparently. Oh, right. Captain America New World Order movie is a thing, and it's happening. And I guess I missed that announcement. But yes, that's the thing. Cyberpunk Edgerunner drops this Tuesday on the 13th of September, and y'all better watch it. That shit looks great. Y'all better watch it. I'm gonna watch it 77,000 times, and I'm gonna buy a DVD if it ever comes out. It better come out. I'm here for it. I'm excited for it. Let's fucking... I'm watching it. If I'm up tonight, I'm watching it tonight. Otherwise, I will be watching it all week. Very much beyond excited for it. Oh, hey, iOS 16 does launch today. So that's actually great. I'm excited for that. And, I've been using the beta, but I'm still excited for it. All right, now we're absolutely now. Let's get to this. Let's get to the Apple stuff. We can talk about iOS 16 real quick. We could tell you what, remind you what things are in there. So you have the ability to edit and unsend messages. So that's going to be a thing. You can mark every message as read, or you can mark messages as unread. A new customizable lock screen, which is really dope. You can change. So the lock screens, I mentioned this before, but for people who are new, we'll talk about the lock screens real quick. So basically, you can create multiple lock screens to switch between. You can also have them tied to certain focuses, and you can put widgets on your lock screen that represent things that you care about per lock screen. So if you care about your batteries, the weather, how much fitness you're doing, you can have all those things stacked up there. Soon we'll be able to have live tiles. They're not available at launch, but they'll do things like tell you the score on the go. Apps can do whatever they want with it, but like that's one of the things that stick out, is like you can use it to keep score on the go if you're not able to sit and watch a game, but you're traveling and you want to be able to see the score. It will tell you the score changing on your home screen without having to unlock your phone. That is really neat. I really do love the customizable lock screens, though. It's actually really, really dope. Let me see. Notification. Yeah, so there's also some notification changes. They're kind of shown at the bottom, which is actually kind of cool. And it doesn't cover up your lock screen as much. It's quite beautiful. Skip captchas using private access tokens, wallet, and Apple Pay Later. Although I don't think Apple Pay Later is out yet, but I'm gonna check that. I don't know. It wasn't in the beta, so I wonder if they were soft testing it with certain people. So there's that. SharePlay comes to messages. Lets you share an experience while connected with someone over FaceTime. You can watch TV shows, listen to music, and sync them with other people. So now it's in messages, which is pretty cool. So we already talked about the focus modes. Apple Maps add transit fare cards, iCloud family photos, which also won't be there on day one. But yeah, that's all the iOS stuff that you can expect to see. Oh, Carrot Weather Updates app for iOS 16 coming fall season. Yo, that Carrot Weather app looks kind of cool. I'm about to fucking hop on that Carrot app. I don't know. I like weather apps. And the Carrot Weather app looks really cool. Let me save that so I don't forget once this podcast is over, kids. See, what did I always say? This podcast is the best because y'all get the real me, the live me. Huh. All right. Now, let's get into these iPhone 14 specs and shit. And well, that's the first thing we'll get into. There was also an Apple Watch Ultra that got announced. So let's see. All right, so the iPhone 14 kinda is very much same thing as the last phone almost. So the iPhone 14, there's really not much to say, except for they really upgraded the camera. There's that. The camera's going to be cooler. It can record 4K still, 24 frames per second, all the way to 60 frames per second. They fixed the zoom on there, so there's that. So like the zoom should be nicer. They have different colors. It's a nice phone, but it's essentially just the last phone, right? That's mainly the biggest part about the iPhone 14 normal, is that it's basically the last phone. Now iPhone 14 Pro is really where we get our where we gonna have to, where we talking. iPhone 14 Pro has a new dynamic island. So they moved the notch, which is really weird, but really, but they did something useful with it. And they moved it to, like, the middle top of the screen. So it's kind of like an actual island on your phone. So when you watch videos, you're going to have this big black island in the middle of your video. Weird. But it comes with nice features that make it worth it. So the 14 also has an always-on display. Emergency SOS via satellite. So basically your phone. If you're in a place with no signal, you can use your phone to connect to a satellite to call for emergencies specifically. So say you're hiking in an area with like no way to call someone unless you had a satellite phone, which is really expensive. Well, you can use your emergency SOS feature to connect to a satellite and send a message for help, which is dope. Crash detection. So if you get into a crash of any sort, your iPhone will tell you, it looks like you've been in a crash. Sly for emergency call. As long as like the detection is really, really well, that could be very useful and not annoying and popping up in front of your face every 5 seconds because your phone like fell or something like that. Cinematic mode starring 4K HDR at 24 frames per second, which apparently is the industry standard. I did not know that they record in 24 frames per second. A16 Bionic chip, amazing battery life, water and dust resistant. iPhone Pro Max is 7.6 inches, and the iPhone Pro is 6.1 inches. And yeah, they're up for pre-order. That's the phone I'm getting because it's the only one that looks like there's a fucking difference that's worth it. And then we have Apple Watch Series 8. Temperature sensing. So provides advanced insight into women's health while keeping your data private. Basically, they invested more in women's health to help track certain things. It can track your sleep to get your understanding of status. So, like, it's all the stuff that it had before. It's just a better way to do it. They have new stuff for working out. New ways that it looks. Actually, I think that's really nice. That the watch also detects car crashes. I mean, the Apple Watch really doesn't change much. It's just, we're going to upgrade the fuck out of things. But what we need to talk about is the Apple Watch Ultra, because that shit is a little bit bigger. It's kind of bulky, it looks like, at least. And it's really fucking nice, right? It's really nice. It is super resistant, has the brightest always on display, Wayfinder watch face with new night mode compass, and room for 8 complications. So you could just load the fuck up your screen. Just load it up. Customizable action button. Sorry if y'all hear that. Somebody's working on this little bar outside of our pool. Customizable action button provides instant access to specialized features. Precision dual frequency GPS provides accurate location for calculating distance, pace, and route maps. 36 hours of battery life in a single charge and up to 60 hours on low power setting. And yeah, that's really it. I mean, it wasn't the wildest thing, but it's definitely the watch that's worth getting if you're only one watch behind and want to upgrade. If you're more than one watch behind, you can get the Series 8 or the Ultra, whichever one you want to spend big bucks on. The Ultra starts at $799. That is a boon. The Apple Watch Series 8 starts at $399. Wow, that gap is fucking huge. And then let me see what the phones started at. The phones were, the iPhone Pro starts at $999, $1,000. The iPhone 14 starts at $799, the same price as the Apple Watch Ultra. And the iPhone SE starts at $429. Yeah, that is it for the Apple event, really. And we already talked comics at the head of the show. And we have nothing else. I already glanced at last minute news. We're really good on last minute news. So I'm not too surprised about that. Yeah, bro, we're gonna fucking talk about Cyberpunk Edgerunner anime. That's what we're gonna talk about next episode a lot. All right, we're gonna talk about Edgerunner a lot. So thank you guys for pulling up as usual and sticking through it. And like I said, there's an episode coming Monday, and it's Monday. I'm dropping an episode. Yeah. Okay, no, we talked about it already. Sorry, I had to double think. Yeah, let's go. I'm going to go watch Ghost in the Shell all over again. And I'm keeping track from the beginning this time. Oh, I'm keeping track from my last watch. So now I'm at like one with everything except for Ghost in the Shell 95. I'm at like three for that because I have four DVDs. And I'm rewatching Ghost in the Shell. I'm going to set a record and I'm keeping track of the record right now. All right, y'all. Be easy. Peace.